You're
Matthew!
Holy shit, Bo.
Hi.
Speed.
Hi.
Did you? So I found out some interesting facts.
Does
at
it
work
involve
the other
pegging?
Day. It does not involve pegging. Did you know boys have three knees?
Three knees?
Three knees.
No. What? Dare I ask? What's the third knee?
Their left knee, their right knee, and their weenie.
A boy's first toy.
A boy's first toy. And it never breaks.
Whoa.
Shouldn't say never breaks, but you never tire of playing with it. Guaranteed.
That's true. That's very true. I'm just going to start at the beginning because you interrupted me
immediately. Well, I couldn't hold it in anymore.
You're listening to Dubstep and Dragons, a D&D 5e actual play podcast with a cyberpunk twist. My name is Matthew, and I will be your game master.
My name is Luke, and I'll play Ash.
My name is Sean. I'll be playing Fallen.
My name's Norris, and I'll be playing Bo.
My name's Jason. I'll be playing Mike.
Alphonse is the character. Dan is my name.
Dan's the man behind it.
Previously on Dubstep and Dragons, Alphonse and Fallen played hide-and-seek.
Peekaboo.
Ash read some books. Norris picked a fight with a girl, and Mike was useless.
I did pick a fight with a girl.
Well, before we get started into everything,
oh, yeah.
We got sent a really cool thing. Shout out to Jason.
Jacob.
I'm
Jacob.
Sorry.
Jacob Walney.
How
Jacob
rude.
Walney.
You better re-record that. That is awful.
So we got sent.
They're both J's.
Our first fan mail. Yay!
Yeah.
Yay!
This
so
is big.
It's big. It is big.
So all total transparency. I opened mine because Bo said I could.
I did. I'm sorry.
And I'm easily persuaded.
That's how your wife got you.
Let's be real how my wife got me. She's way hotter than I am.
Matt said I have a big dick and a big bank account. Didn't let her see either of
both
them until
lies.
After they were married. I did the same thing.
Ooh. Oh, they're doggy. So pretty. So they're mystery dice sets. I suppose we should.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
This is an audio format. So.
Right. They're the dice blind bag, so we couldn't see what was in them.
Yeah, from UR Wizards.
Not sponsored, but thanks for the cool shit, UR Wizard.
It comes with like a fancy belt dice tray, mm-hmm, and a set of dice. Mine are like some green and gold. Ooh, and they have like a sparkly foil in the middle.
Ooh. I've got some red and gold, and ooh, they are just freaking beautiful.
Ooh, and I got a sticker.
Let me see.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those are sharp.
Ooh,
I like those.
Blue and gold.
I got like gold and green.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ah.
Ooh. Yeah.
These are freaking cool.
You said from Jacob?
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Jacob.
Huge.
Thank you,
yeah,
Jacob.
Thank you, Jacob.
This is...
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
I was
like a Do Not Disturb sign.
I was so excited. I felt like a real podcaster.
We are real podcasters. What are you talking about?
I mean, we do have quite a few episodes out at this point.
Even if we're only real for us.
Yeah.
Oh,
dang.
This is
bag
really
is
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes with a nice little canvas dice bag. Hell yeah.
And a cool sticker.
And a sticker.
I'm a slut for stickers.
Me too.
I love stickers.
I put stickers on everything. If I order parts for like my Forerunner or stuff like that, if it doesn't come with a patch or a sticker, I feel swindled.
Well, and that's like if you order parts from Rock Auto and they send you like the freaking cool magnets. So, I'm not even a magnet guy, but I get mad whenever I don't get a car magnet in my fucking car parts. Like, what
so,
the fuck?
So for my job, we have to order VIN labels, replacement VIN labels for vehicles. And the company that we order them from, they used to put in the package like Dum Dums and Jolly Ranchers.
What?
They stopped like 8 months ago, and I almost switched companies.
You should have wrote them. You should have wrote them a Yelp review. I will no longer use this company because I'm not getting my Dum Dums.
You know what? I'm going to use these dice tonight. Actually,
yeah.
Why not?
I'm gonna use my little How You Doing too.
This
your
is
little
really
How
cool.
You Doing?
Thank you so much, Jacob.
Yeah,
those are double S pirate hats for the other campaign. Also,
oh yeah.
Here. Oh
yeah. Thanks, Jacob. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the dual wielding fire hat.
That's a quad point hat.
Call me Napoleon.
All right, quad corner hat. Excuse me.
And the dice roll good?
Yes, they're very sharp.
Oh, I love sharp edge dice. Oh.
Mine seems to be weighted to 14. I rolled 3 14s in a row.
Mine's.
Oh, that was a 6.
Well, my first roll was a 2, so. Well,
I've rolled a different number every time.
Wow. Nicely balanced
that
dice.
That was a 7.
Oh, that's the crit. Oh, that's cool. The 20 is the 20 is a like,
wand.
I got it. Mine's a loo.
A what? Loo.
Mine like is.
Oh, dude, that's fucking cool. Mine's a
mine
wand.
Is, mine is like a winged helm. It's so small, and I see
wand?
Like an old man.
Yeah.
Does that it's look a like a winged helm?
Yours is unique also.
Yeah, I love it.
What's yours?
Just a 20. It's beautiful.
Yeah, oh. It's like a helmet, sure like a Valkyrie helmet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Valkyrie helmet. That's a good way to put it.
Valkyrie! Yeah.
So now that we got fan mail out of the way, thank you, Jacob, again.
Thank you.
I need everybody but Dan to get the fuck out.
Oh.
everybody but Dan.
Sounds like, okay.
All right, toodles.
As the fuckers leave.
Like I was like, as Bo leaves. The beer's full, thank God.
Daniel.
Matthew.
No, Alphonse.
DM.
So, you are standing in the restricted section of the library. You're in the center of the starburst that we talked about before. And you're standing with Fallen, and he opens this heavy, like, lead-lined case for you. And inside, you pulled out what looks like a corked bottle. It's very intricate. It feels so delicate in your hands. And it's, you know, 10 inches tall, round at the bottom, and then a long neck corked at the top. And as you are examining it and you're talking with Fallen about, you know, genie lore on Earth versus his knowledge of genies or of djinn, you're kind of spinning it in your hands and you feel this bottle start to get really hot. Like singeing your hands hot.
Okay.
And the cork pops out and soot starts flowing out of the top and completely engulfs you. Your vision gets just blinded by all this soot in your eyes and you feel yourself kind of land gently on. It feels so soft, like clouds. And your vision clears, and you're sitting in a, like a picture an Arabian framed tent. So you have the poles going up all around, and then these ornate tapestries draping from the middle out to the frame and then down to the floor. And you have like 10-foot tall ceilings. And the floor is covered in these silk cushions that are so soft. And it just feels like the lap of luxury. Like, this is beautiful and comfortable and at the same time alien and uncomfortable. Hmm. Just the being pulled from where you are to where you are now. It's such a juxtaposition that it takes you a second to kind of get your bearings. And in the center of this room, you're in here by yourself, there is a lit candle on a table, on a little pedestal in the center. And as soon as you take a look around, and there's no threats, there's no sound. You can hear what's going on outside where you are. You can hear Fallen, and you hear Ash, who wasn't there whenever you got pulled in. But you can hear him and Fallen talking back and forth, frantic. And then the sound kind of dulls, and you're left in silence in this tent. Before you, the candle flickers, and then the flame grows. And it's a small candle, but the flame gets larger and larger and larger, and eventually it's quadruple the size of the candle itself. And then the flames, where it's flickering like a normal flame, but then it starts to almost fall like water down onto the pedestal and across the floor, and it starts moving towards you, just flowing like water across the cushions. It's not burning anything, but the flame is moving towards you, and you're kind of sitting. You're kind of sitting, support, your hands are down supporting yourself, and your legs are spread a bit, and the flames come up between your legs and start getting close to your torso, and then the flames expand, just almost like a little miniature fireball. It flares up in front of you, and there is a woman with coal black hair and dark red tinted skin. She looks like facial features and dress and everything. It looks from Earth terms, you know, Indian Pakistani background. Okay. Beautiful, perfect skin. These bright kind of red amber eyes. And as she forms from this flame, she's kind of crawling across the floor and over you. And she puts her hands on each side of your waist. And you're like I said, you're kind of laid back supporting yourself, and she is an inch from your face. And she it's been so long since a male caller came to visit me.
Is it a question for the DM? So all of the faded, like, dreariness is 100%
gone
in here. This is
It is beautifully well lit in here. Everything feels warm. In fact, it feels hot.
Okay.
The temperature is a little on the uncomfortable side for you. But not painful. You figure it's like being in direct sunlight in midsummer.
Okay.
Like it's pretty toasty in here, but not so much that it's going to cause you harm.
Okay. Typically women buy me dinner first before they get this close.
Oh, I don't play by rules. What brings you here? You're so handsome. Oh. And keep in mind, she is an inch from your face.
Quit. You're going to make me blush.
Oh, I'll do so much more than that. You're seeking something, aren't you?
Yes. What gave it away?
I can smell it. I can smell your... Oh, I don't want to say desperation, but determination. It's palpable.
Oh, wow. Never had anyone put things in terms like that. Well, you're right.
I have a way with people and an understanding of their needs. That is my whole purpose of life, is to grant those the things they want.
I believe where I come from, that's called a wish.
Well, yes. Where I come from, it's called a wish as well.
Oh, okay. Okay, just want to make sure. Same terminology here.
What do you desire? And she's, like, rolling everything off of her tongue. Like, she is... It is bedroom eyes the whole time. And she's kind of running her hand down your arm and she is aggressive.
Well, if you can smell desire and you can sense things that don't exist, I don't think I really need to answer your question.
Oh, but it's so much more fun if you do. I can tell you exactly what you want, but it's so much more fun if we have a conversation.
Great. Let's just back up a little bit. Maybe give me a foot or two. You're making me a little uncomfortable here.
No problem. It's been so long since it's been anybody but a stuffy monk or cleric. They come in here to see if I've changed my ways.
What do you have to change? You're beautiful.
Now you're going to make me blush.
Mm.
I love people. I love filling desires. What is so wrong with that? These stuffy religious zealots, they block desire from their minds. They take these vows that ruin all the fun. What's the point of living if you're not going to enjoy any of it?
Couldn't agree more.
I have been alive for millennia, and I have enjoyed every moment of it.
I haven't been alive that long. What's your secret to living forever? You got any special well that you drink from?
I am a being of pure magic. I need nothing. I need no sustenance. I need nothing but people.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Magic is new to me. We're probably going like 20 days where I've just learned that magic even exists.
Oh, the world you're from is boring, to say the least. It's a shithole. To use your world's terminology. I've been there. It's fun for a time, and you grant people what they want, and then they all want to just see things burn. And as much as I enjoy that, it gets old. And these people, they lack creativity.
How would you... Yeah, better yet, do you have anything to drink? This heat's kind of getting to me.
Of course. And she just reaches a hand behind her, and it's this very fluid motion. It's like she moves the way the flame of a candle moves. It seems almost erratic, but it's also smooth and deliberate. And she pulls out, and it's just this crystal glass filled with water.
Wow. It's amazing.
And she hands it to you. She's, anything your heart desires can be granted to you.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Genies from where I'm from don't really have a good rap.
Well, there are those of us that prefer to see things destroyed. I love the beauty in life, and I am here to enhance it.
I'll be honest with you, I'm really not seeing the beauty in life anymore.
That's why you need me. I can get you what you need. You want to save your sister, I know.
I do.
And you want to save your humdrum world.
Yeah, I'm starting to kind of regret that decision, to be honest.
Well, I mean, it's a worthy cause. And what's wrong with a little adoration for your efforts? Someday they'll build statues to you and they'll worship at your altar. What more could you want? You don't even have to be there. You can be off exploring the multiverse. While back at home, all the boring humans, they're just worshiping you and granting you more power. Do you know that's how gods are made?
How?
All you need is enough people to worship you. And you manifest your power from their love.
Alphonse grabs the beautiful container with water in it and takes a drink. Godhood, power, multiverse. You're saying a lot, but besides your beautiful flaming dance, I'm not convinced.
What if I could facilitate something for you? A deal. And, I mean, there's practically no strings attached. The entity, I don't personally care for having servants, but I'm a broker of sorts.
Okay.
I know very important and powerful people. If you do me one simple favor, that your cleric friend out there can help you with, if you perform this one service for me, I can have you hooked up with an incredibly powerful entity that is so far away in the far realms that they won't even notice that you're just leeching a little power off of them. Just a little bit, and they won't even notice.
Like, on a power scale, this little bit of leeching, would it help me fulfill my wants and my desires?
And more.
Okay. You piqued my interest. What do you need?
Well, as I said, it's simple. I can connect you to this entity without their knowledge. In exchange, I simply need you to take me out of here and bring me to a place that your cleric friend will recognize. It's the Infinite Staircase. It sounds silly, I know. It's a terrible name. But it can take you anywhere in the multiverse, and I simply wish to return home. But these clerics, they keep me here, locked up.
Do you mind if I just run a quick check on her?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Not so hot.
I'm guessing insight. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Insight is going to be a 12.
You believe? I mean, she seems forthcoming. She beat you, but I'll still give you this. She's picking her words carefully. And you... just baseline Alphonse would pick up on that because it's what you do. She is playing your game and she's very good at it.
You just want to head home. Where's home?
Well, that's simple. The fire plane.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Yes, that's... There's me. I am an Ifriti. I am a fire genie. I hate the term genie, but it's the all-encompassing term that they've applied to us. There's Tao for earth, there's one for water, there's one for air, and we all have our realms that we rule over. And I simply want to get back to my people.
It's not an absurd ask. However, what if what you grant me is not enough?
Oh, I can assure you it is everything you could want. The more you practice and the more you serve, the more power you gain. And actually, in this situation, you don't even have to serve. Now, I will have you sign a little contract, because if the entity ever does catch on, which is so unlikely... But if they do, if you just simply present the contract, then all is good. All is well.
Let's have a look at the contract.
Oh, of course. And she reaches back to the candle and the flame flares up, and a piece of paper appears in her hand. A piece of parchment. And she unfurls it and hands it to you.
Agreement. Giant power. Duties of service. Well, okie dokie. Conditions of service. Non-disclosure. Ha! Huh. Final provisions.
The nature of this powerful entity is beyond the comprehension of most mere mortals. And so for your own mental safety and well-being, it's best that you just simply don't ask questions and share as little as possible.
Huh. I'll tell you what. It's this bottle that has to go up the stairs?
Yes, you just... All you have to do is get access to the infinite staircase, which your cleric friend, his goddess, Saloon, she is the caretaker of the infinite staircase. He simply asks for her help. She'll open it up. And then you just... When it shows up, you just set me in there, and I'll do the rest.
Well, I'll tell you what. I am willing to look at sign this contract, but I have a stipulation of my own.
By all means.
I want you to prove your power by helping me defeat the person that has my sister captive. Give me the power and show me that...
So you wish to temporarily draw on my power?
Correct.
In order to eventually be granted the power from this entity?
If the power seems like it's in my wheelhouse and it fulfills the void that I desire, I'll find a way to get you to that light well and I'll sign the contract.
Roll persuasion. With advantage, you're speaking her language.
With advantage, persuasion, that is going to be a 28.
Very good. Okay. So, to be clear, I grant you power from me, temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
You defeat Lord Dykstra.
Yeah.
After Lord Dykstra, after you've had a taste, then you move on to this contract.
I sign the contract and get you to your staircase. It's easier when everyone's celebrating to get you what you want.
This will have to be a binding deal. You do realize that, yes?
What collateral are you going to put up for a binding deal?
If I don't fulfill my end?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Fair enough. That is, I didn't realize my integrity was in question, but it is fair that both sides should give something. If I don't fulfill my end of the deal and I don't grant you my power, which I would have no reason not to. Your survival is my freedom. If I fail to carry out my end, I have the ability to correct wrongs. If I fail to carry out my end and say you perish, I will restore you to life anywhere of your choosing.
Oh.
Within the multiverse, within the inner plane. No outer planes. I can't make you appear in Celestia.
Dang. Okay.
But anywhere in the inner planes, I will restore you to life. I will restore your friends to life. Anywhere you wish. And then, you will carry out your end and take me to the infinite staircase.
Seems like a deal to me.
Now I will tell you. There is one small detail about deals with me. My contracts are less paper and pen and more of a physical nature. Do you agree to this?
You want me to sleep with you?
You don't have to be so crude.
I mean, you're beautiful and all, but...
It is how I solidify a deal.
Man, it's been a while.
Oh, don't worry. Your wish is my command.
All right, can we at least do it on a flying carpet?
And all the drapes, all the tapestries that are lining the room, they all immediately fall to the ground. And it's just a starlit night all around you in every direction. And you look down and the pillows have been replaced with this waving flying carpet flying across the desert.
That is... I can't believe it. That's hot as fuck.
And with that, the curtains drop and things go black.
Sounds good.
And your imagination can take it from there. If you'll go...
I'll go get the nerds.
Get everybody else.
Wait, what is our new pact call?
Oh, by the way, go ahead and take Pact of the Genie for now.
Okay.
With the Afridi patron.
Afridi?
Dirty. We will pick up with Ash and Norris.
My computer showed up. That's what
you two are down in the library doing your research. You have Darla.
Hello,
with you.
Darla.
You're all enjoying a drink. Ash, you're flipping through the book, asking her questions about vampires and gaining general knowledge. And you, Ash, feel in the back of your head almost like there's this wall that's being knocked down.
Oh.
In your mind. And you feel something slamming up against this wall. And you can feel screams and you can feel desperation. And you feel the wall get knocked in. And a scream goes through your mind. And you hear, "You have to stop him. You have to stop him now." Norris, you're looking at, you see Ash pop up and react to something that you don't see or hear. And there's this flash of bright gold light. And Ash is gone. Ash, you're blinded by this golden light, and you find yourself standing around a table just as this black ash coming out of a bottle pulls Alphonse from the room and pulls him into a bottle. And you're standing across the table. And it's almost as though your body isn't your own, and you reach out and try to grab Alphonse as he's being pulled in, and you can hear Rain in your head screaming to stop him and grab him, but you're just not fast enough, and his form is pulled into the bottle.
Uh-oh.
And you feel this kind of weight drop from you, almost like somebody else was in control, like Rain was taking the reins. And then that control drops and you're in control of yourself again. Standing around this little table in a room that you aren't familiar with, Fallen is standing across from you. Fallen, for your knowledge, this room is supposed to be warded from teleportation.
What just happened?
How did you get here?
Well, I saw bright gold light, and then I was here. watching Alphonse get sucked into a bottle.
And when he appeared, you saw this golden flash.
Mm-hmm. This room is warded. There was a flash of golden light, and now you're here. What did you do?
I didn't do anything. I was reading a book. Do I have the book still in my hand?
Yeah, the book is still in your hand.
Like, I was reading the book.
I like how he has a book in his hand.
I'm going to check. What book is he reading?
It's about the lords of this realm.
Nothing. Okay.
No, give me an arcana check.
Arcana. Absolutely.
Or religion. Which religion's probably higher for you?
18 religion.
18 religion? That golden light is so eerily similar to the golden light of your power. And everything you've seen him do to this point has been technological. It has been radiation. It has been brute strength. This is the first time you've seen something that appeared to you to be magic. And not just magic, holy magic.
Where did you learn that?
I have no idea. All of a sudden, I just popped here. What happened to Alphonse? Why did he get sucked into a bottle?
He made a choice.
He made a choice?
I think he's discussing that with a djinn right now.
A djinn? What is a djinn? Like a genie?
Yes.
Those are real?
Absolutely.
Well, I didn't know that.
Indeed. They're different types.
Do you remember, like, what he was talking to him about? Like, how do we get him out?
That is between him and the contract.
Can we break the bottle?
I would highly recommend not doing that.
Not doing it?
Correct.
Is the bottle, like, on the table and everything?
Yeah, as you saw Alphonse holding it in his hand as he was pulled in, and then as soon as he disappeared, it just slowly lowered down to the table that it was above.
Can I inspect the bottle and see if there's, like...
Yeah, give me an investigation check.
Investigation?
Yes.
Guidance.
What is that, plus four?
D4. Plus a D4.
So, math is hard today. 12 plus two is 14.
14?
With guidance.
You start, like, rolling it around in your hand, just looking it over, and it feels super hot. Like almost scalding your hands, but not quite. Like, if it was a pan, you would be wearing hot pads. You would be wearing hot pads. But you're trying to inspect it, and you're a little frantic after watching your friend get pulled into this thing. And it's beautiful. It has all these elaborate engravings. It's visions of fire and kind of chaos depicted on this very ornate bottle with a cork stopper in the top. Other than that, it seems like a bottle.
So if we uncork it, does Alphonse pop back out?
He'll probably...
Great sound effects.
When he's ready, he'll leave.
So we can't force him out?
No.
So we just gotta wait for him?
Correct.
Alphonse, give me a performance check.
Okay. That is gonna be a 23.
He's gone for a bit over 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 23, 25 minutes later, he pops. It's like this plume of soot starts, like an exhaust stack, just starts billowing out the top of this bottle.
Fallen, what's going on?
He's coming out of the bottle.
He better be.
And you see this plume of smoke bends and goes back down to the ground. And then starts almost like it's assembling Alphonse from the feet up. and he's standing before you. The only, as you're watching him, it's Alphonse, but he's got like amber and red eyes. Like the coloring around, it's almost like a hazel eye, but it's amber on the outside, and then the inside ring is red streaks.
Can I medicine check him to make sure he's okay?
Yeah.
That's a nat 20.
He looks healthy as a horse. He looks great. His eyes are a bit crazy.
Did you make a deal?
A deal?
What? What you guys talking about? I flew on a magic carpet. That was fun.
That didn't look like no magic carpet.
No, inside the bottle, genius.
Oh, inside it. Got it.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Like.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Should I be worried about him falling?
I hope the price wasn't too high.
You can feel Rain still in there. Like, since you left Earth, she's been kind of absent. Almost like she's been stuck behind that wall that she forced down. And now you're starting to pick up her feelings again, like you did on Earth. And you just, you have this general feeling of mistrust. Not mistrust for Alphonse, but mistrust for the situation.
I'm just going to keep an eye on Alphonse throughout this time to make sure he's good.
My character is just going to nod, and we should leave.
Okay, yeah. I don't know where we're at. I'm going to follow you guys.
This is the restricted section where we hold powerful items.
And now that you're looking around, you can feel... You can almost feel all these voices and shit trying to, like, tempt you towards them. And just from all directions, there's these feelings of desire and granting of power and all these promises that you... They're not words, they're just feelings all around you. And as a paladin, they all feel fucking evil.
Well, I don't like this room, so can we go?
Fallen, did you get that ruby? I don't know how long it was on. Did you find a ruby in here?
You want a history check?
You didn't find any rubies you'd want to touch.
No, not here.
Oh.
These are... tainted. We need one that's not been had any magical effects on it.
Oh.
The ones here have been used for dark rituals, sacrifice.
I mean, they can't all be evil. I mean, that's kind of crazy. There's got to be some good in this evil.
In this room? Eh.
Oh. Okay.
You probably have one of the few things that are semi-good.
Well, that's lovely. That's lovely. All right, well, I'm following you, Fallen. I don't think I can get out the door.
Fair enough. Onwards.
I follow him out.
As you walk out, the monk and the cleric that were standing guard at the gate, you two walk out, and then Ash walks out.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this very puzzled look on their face. But they don't say shit, because he's with you.
Mm-hmm. They walk by. Hello.
While this is happening, while they're descending the stairs, what's Mr. Norris doing after watching his friend disappear in a flash of gold?
Norris would be freaking out at this point. I'd probably like try and grab like where he was just to see if I like feel anything. And I'm not going to drop my keg, but I would set my keg down on the nearest table. And then
priorities.
Yeah. And then I would look at Darla and be like, what the fuck did you do to my friend?
Let me see what she knows. Oh, that is a winged helm. She knows a lot.
Good. Good.
She's I didn't do anything.
Well, what the fuck was that gold flash and why is my friend gone?
It looked divine? I don't know.
What the fuck's divine mean?
Like a god.
Norris would just look up and be like, I don't see any fucking gods.
I don't either. I don't know.
So he just vanished? Does this happen often in this place?
No! It's literally not supposed to happen. It's supposed to be impossible.
I'll just scratch my soft spot on my head and be like, well, it fucking happened. So where do we look? Is he here? Is he gone? Is he back on Earth?
I mean, short range within the building is is possible, but he should be right around us.
I would just holler out, Ash!
With your,
yes, Norris.
With your passive perception, you're like 100 and some feet in the air. You are at the top of the center tower. And this is when you're still in the restricted section, and you just hear off in the background, Norris screaming.
We should probably go check on Norris.
Then Norris would go look over at the books like that he was looking at and just like start flinging books off like the bookshelf, thinking that maybe there's like a little secret door, like divinity fucking book.
And Darla joins you. Like at this point, she's as frantic as you are trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. So she's over there in the pile of books like, what are we doing?
Is there like a hocus pocus thing that we gotta say to like?
There's hocus pocus everywhere.
Hocus pocus. Booga booga. Like as I'm tossing books over my shoulder, just
I don't think those are magical words.
I don't know magic.
He's got to be here somewhere.
Golden light, you made me fright.
As soon as you guys leave the restricted section, Norris is not quiet.
No.
So even 100 some feet up in the air, you hear his frantic screams, and you hear Darla just trying to make sense of it and calm him, but also she's panicked too, so she's actually just making things worse.
I yell down, Norris!
Can I see?
Oh yeah, yeah. Once
I'd
he yells,
like to
you
cast greater invisibility
on yourself.
No.
Oh,
Ash!
Ash!
I'm
Is
right,
that you?
I'm right here.
Where? Ash! I don't see you.
Is he in my? Do you hear him? Is he in my head, Darla? Do you hear him?
I hear. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not just me.
Ash! You're so loud in real life.
I feel like Norris would actually be freaking the fuck out. Like, poof, he's gone.
Absolutely.
Norris up here. And I'm like waving. Like,
as you wave, you don't see your own hand.
Are you Wait in it. Heaven?
I don't know what
Please
I know
tell me I'm not
what
going
he
to
did.
Hell.
You Behind
heard,
you.
You heard
hear.
Him cast a spell. That's all you heard.
You just hear a belly laugh. Just.
I turn around and grab Fallen. What did you do?
You're invisible.
I didn't want to be invisible. Why did you make me invisible? Go tell Norris to stop freaking out.
Eh.
And I like put him up against the railing and like lean him over.
You
Fallen! Hey, have you seen Ash?
Who's Ash?
Fuck you! You know who Ash is!
A new minute later, the spell pops.
Oh, thank God! Oh. Where did you go?
I came up
I
to this room
yell,
with them.
Just come down here.
Do we start work? We work our way down. I dig it.
It takes you guys a bit. Like I said,
Darla, it's okay. I see him.
You're at least 10 stories up, and it's a spiraling staircase that goes. Mm-hmm. It's like a ramp that goes around this whole thing. So it takes you a while, but a few minutes later, you're at the bottom, and you meet Norris and Darla down in the mm-hmm. like. Desk area.
Norris would just take the book that he had in his hand and just smack Ash with it. What the fuck were you thinking?
I didn't think anything. All of a sudden, golden light, and I'm in this room with Fallen, and He was in a... Alphonse was in a bottle.
I'll smack both Alphonse and and Fallen.
What did you do?
Get your hand off me.
It wasn't my hand. It was a book.
Get your book out of
my
face.
Well, technically, it's not my book.
Stop it. Where were you?
Do you know how hard it is to make those?
I don't care.
Also, there's probably a bunch a few floors down. If you got a janitor or somebody to pick those up, I'm sorry. I was trying to do magic. It wasn't working.
Where were you?
The restricted section.
I thought you said we couldn't get into the restricted section.
Correct.
But I beamed up into the restricted section, apparently.
Beamed up like that fucking movie from way back in the day with a beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah.
Is that what I had to say?
Maybe.
Who's Scotty?
I was knocked out and drug in there.
He was in a bottle. He was black smoke.
I don't want to call you fat, but I don't think you'd fit in a bottle.
I mean, fair.
How did you get into a bottle?
I don't think I can tell you the story.
It was a genie. He became a genie? Did you become a genie?
Wait. Genie. You're fucking funny. Three wishes. Genie.
They exist.
No, yes. They don't.
Bro,
what?
Hey, I was on a magic carpet.
You're fucking lucky.
It was awesome.
I want to go on a magic carpet. Did it fly and everything?
Yeah.
Did the little tentacles things, like tassels, tickle you?
There was a whole lot tickling me, yeah.
Fallen, take me to the restriction section. I've got to write it. They got to go. I want to go.
I didn't go in the bottle. It was just Alphonse. I didn't ride the magic carpet.
Oh.
Speaking of which, where is the bottle?
It is in my trench coat.
Okay.
Pocket.
Okay.
Are you okay? I mean, like, did the bottle hurt you? Did anything hurt you? Like, are you good?
No. I was pleased beyond my wildest dreams.
Better than I was when I left BJ's Fluff and Stuff?
Immensely.
Now you have to take me.
No.
This is bullshit.
I was saying... You'd have to make a deal with a genie.
Darla, what do you know about genies?
Don't trust them?
Great, so you got a magic carpet ride from somebody that we're apparently not supposed to trust?
Am I trustworthy?
I trust you.
Yeah. There's the answer.
Oh, gosh. This is just fucking getting weird. I don't like all this books and shit. Can we just go get some more beer?
Do we need to find our ruby, Fallen?
Wait, now we're looking for a ruby?
Well, it allows me to cast a certain spell.
That he's being very cagey about so that the DM can't prepare. No, I don't want to know. I want to be surprised.
Well, where do you keep your rubies at? Fallen, I feel like this is your wheelhouse here.
I was waiting for the treasury, but you guys need to look at some things, so.
Well, can you do your little fucking magically golden glow thing, and then we'll go to your treasury place?
Don't you have a fight to do?
Why are you fighting people here?
It's sparring, it's not fighting.
Technically, we're not fighting, it's just we're going to see who's better.
Who is he sparring?
Darla.
Me. And so your knowledge of Darla, because you do have some, she is meek. She is soft-spoken.
She can drink like a fish.
But she is a different fucking person when she's sparring.
Norris, are you in love?
No, but I mean, I do appreciate a woman who can drink like me.
Best of luck. I don't have high hopes for you on that fight. And I walk away.
I'm not scared.
Should be.
And she's kind of got her shoulders like rolled forward. Like she looks just so meek. She keeps herself small and she's very quiet. And as Fallen is saying this, you hear a little giggle.
From Darla?
Her. Yeah.
You're not scary, Darla.
No.
No. We're going to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. It's all for fun.
Yeah.
It's just sparring.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take it easy on you.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I appreciate that. I need it.
You know, I've been called a lot of things, and a nice guy is mainly one of them.
I could tell.
Yeah. Humble, not so much, but a nice guy. Absolutely.
But we'll, after dinner, we can...
I lean over to Alphonse and say, she's the only person that I've actually had to regrow bones from after a sparring match.
Oh.
And I keep going.
Do I hear this?
No. He specifically said he was off to the side with Alphonse. So.
Well, I mean, I gotta watch this then.
Oh, it'll be a show.
By the way, should we be concerned that Mike is still gone?
Yeah, we need to hurry this up.
I figured grab supplies and go.
Well, maybe if you guys weren't fucking poofing off into nowhere, we could already had our spar.
What? You guys go spar, I'll go get my stuff.
Yeah, do we need dinner? Maybe dinner and a show?
I'm going to say grab some sandwiches on the way. Maybe some...
Sandwiches sound good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let me just go get my stuff and... And I'll meet you down in the training room.
I'm not regrowing bones.
No, it's a sparring match.
Regrowing bones?
It's all for fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she gives you a little wink.
Just giant smile from Fallen.
Can you check books out of this library?
No.
Crap.
Can I, like, after, do I hear Alphonse ask that question?
Yeah.
Okay. After I hear that, I kind of... Can I, like, sneak the one in my trench coat?
Give me a sleight of hand and give me a perception. Well, actually, it would be passive because you wouldn't be actively looking for it with him. So you have to beat a 19 sleight of hand because his passive perception is 19.
Damn. Oh, gosh.
You have to beat a 19?
Yes. Or meet or beat.
Meets it, beats it?
Yeah.
That is a 21.
You get the book and you... You just, as they're talking, you're kind of turning and acting like you're putting a book back on the shelf.
Can I grab one of the ones that Norris threw on the floor and like, put that one back?
Yeah, yeah. You put that one back, and then you just slide your book into your jacket.
Perfect.
Smooth criminal.
And you all leave the library, go make some food, and... Fallen leads you all down, and it's down this dark corridor that goes down below the main hall, mm-hmm. and it opens up into this room here, and it's got all these, it's got like almost like stands for people to sit and watch, and it's got this very... Everything in here looks fucking ancient. And there is blood staining the floor all over the place. And there has definitely been a lot of training that has gone on here.
I would just lean over to Fallen and go, I thought you guys were a peaceful people.
And how do you protect that peace?
Well, I don't know. Don't you have, like, gods and shit?
I am the shield between my people. Our job is to guard them from monsters and evil.
All right.
For that, you must train.
Just out of curiosity, specifically, what are you guarding?
Yeah.
That's what I don't get that out of all of this. Like, this is a beautiful temple and stuff.
Well, you were in the restricted section. You saw what that they're guarding.
Yeah, but you... He
was in a bottle, though, apparently.
You were talking about you guard them from things entering. Like, how are they entering? What are you talking about?
There are monsters here. There are creatures of the night that do not listen to reason. We guard as much as we can of the people that live here.
But what are you guarding? You're just guarding the people?
Yes.
Oh, okay. There's not, like, some secret staircase or something like that.
You've already been on that one.
Oh, okay.
Well, we gonna start this thing?
So, after you guys get kind of set up in the grandstands and and Fallen, you escort Norris down to the pit. And Norris, once you're in there, there's like 8-foot walls surrounding this whole thing. And it's a large, I mean, you can see it in front of you. Another map by Chepiku. And after a few minutes, you know, you're kind of like stretching and joking around with the guys. And after a few minutes, Darla comes down and she's in, instead of her robes. And then she had like it was basically a gi underneath, but it was more of an ornate, almost like a formal gi, like a work gi. And she comes down in what used to be, obviously, a white traditional gi. And you can see all these spots where she's tried to scrub out the bloodstains, but they're still embedded in the white fabric, in the heavy canvas.
I would just jokingly say to Darla, you should really learn how to put your hands up. Keep your gi cleaner.
And you're saying this as she's kind of winding her way down. And as she walks down to the top of the wall where these guys are all sitting, and just steps off the edge and lands in this perfect little 3-point stance. And she starts, she doesn't respond. She just starts stretching, and she starts walking over to her side of the ring. And the last few steps, she gives like quick stutter step, runs up the wall and does a backflip, landing on the floor.
I lean over to Norris and go, "You got this, buddy," and I slap him on the ass and cast bless to him.
Nice. What's that do?
On your attack rolls, or saving throws, you get a d4.
Are you ready? This is really going to be fun. And she's, "Do you mind if my master watches?"
No.
And you look up, and you guys did not see this guy come in. But sitting directly across from you is this kind of wrinkled old man. You would recognize him as Brother Edward. And an older man, looks kind of frail. And he's sitting there, and he's got this blanket over him, and he's just sitting there with this grumpy look on his face, watching everything. Norris.
Yeah.
Roll initiative.
Oh, wait. I've got advantage.
That's worse.
That's a 10.
You're going to be second.
Yeah.
She got a 17.
Yeah.
So she kind of slowly walks up, and you see her crack her neck, and she walks to the middle of the ring, and you see her just take a stance, and she kind of holds out her hand and does a little wave for you to come at her.
All right, Norris is going to walk up to the middle as well, right in front of her, and stick out my hand and say, "Good luck."
She reaches out her hand and shakes yours. And just as she does that, you don't feel anything from it, but you start seeing on that hand this wisp of green just start winding around her hand. And she does a little bow.
Norris would awkwardly bow back.
And then she drops down into a defensive stance.
Okay.
Do you Do you do anything to prepare, or are you just standing there?
I mean, I'd probably, like, kind of get a little defensive, but Norris is just filling her out at this point.
Okay. On her turn, she's going to take two unarmed strikes at you. And you get the feeling that this is her doing the same, just kind of feeling you out. The first is going to be a 15, is going to miss. And a 22.
Barely.
Okay. As soon as this hand hits, that the one that's got the green mist around it, she hits you in the gut with it, just nice and square, and you feel something leach into your skin, and you almost feel like you're gonna vomit, and you take.
I feel like this is going to be bad.
Just sparring.
You take 19 points of damage.
Oh, my God.
9 of it is necrotic.
Oh.
So what's that mean?
It's just a type of damage.
Oh, okay.
You're not raging, so you take 19.
I take all of it.
And then she's going to bonus action patient defense.
What's that?
She has taken the dodge action as a bonus action, so you have disadvantage on all attacks against her.
Okay. Well, seeing that she did a cool little trick with her hand, I am going to bonus action manifest echo behind her.
Okay.
And then I am going to take two attacks just with my I'll also do two attacks unarmed as well, just to see how that goes, both from my echo.
And like I said, both a disadvantage.
First one would be a 13 to hit, or to try and hit.
So your echo appears behind her. She doesn't turn to see it. And as this thing goes to punch her in the back, she just sidesteps. And this shadowy fist glides past her. And she steps back into her previous position.
And the next wall.
<laughs> 17 to hit.
Misses.
Perfect.
So they were both from the echo?
Yeah.
So the first one, she steps, she kind of twists to the side, and she moves unnaturally. She steps to the side, and it slips past, and then she kind of leans to the other side as your echo tries to punch her in the back of the head, and it just whiffs right past her head. And then she is going to...
Norris would just say, you're pretty fast.
She is going to take one attack at your echo. That'll be a 22 to hit.
Yep.
So as she dodges the second one, she just throws up an elbow and hits your echo in the face and dissipates it. And then she drops down and goes for a punch to your gut. That's a 19. I don't think a 19 hits you.
Mm-mm.
And then she is going to flurry of blows for two more attacks. 25.
That hits.
To hit. That one is also going to use her hand of harm. So you see that green fist go into you, and once again, you were just starting to feel better. You were just starting to get your stomach back, and she hits you in the gut, and you feel like you're going to vomit again. As she does... another 19 damage. And then she's going to take her fourth attack for a 22 to hit.
Yep.
That one, she can't do her hand of harm again. So that is standard attack. 13 damage.
Oh,
And then she is going to... And then it's your turn. You still have disadvantage because you are currently poisoned.
Damn.
All right. Don't forget you have Bless.
Oh, I haven't been using that at all. Okay. So Norse would probably like be a little like doubled over, like holding his gut. What the fuck is that green shit? You're obviously a lot stronger than I thought you were.
She just shakes it. She goes, I don't know. It won't go away.
I feel like you're a smart ass. And Norris would back up. He would back up 15 feet away from her.
She's going to take an opportunity attack.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's only 15 to hit, so.
And then I am going to transform my arm into Lexi's and be like, let's see how you like this.
Disadvantage.
Yep.
That's a 19,
so 14. So that's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20, that hits.
Perfect. So that's going to be 16 damage.
Oh, she already used her reaction.
Damn it.
And then I'm going to bonus action manifest echo behind her 5 feet. And that's my turn.
Okay. On her turn, you see, like, you backed up to make some space between you and her, and she kind of laughs. And she does the like oh, I can't think of his name right now, but the arm loading. And you see Henry Cavill arm loading, and you see this black kind of come off of her, and she reaches out like she's gonna punch you, and as she goes forward, the green starts winding out as a fist hits you from 15 feet away.
Holy fuck.
What a 28 to hit?
God damn.
This bitch bad.
That is 10 damage.
Jeez.
24 to hit?
Yeah.
That is 9 damage.
Good lord.
Flurry of blows. That's only a 16, so that's not going to hit. 23 to hit.
Yep.
Hand of Harm. Twenty-one damage.
Good night.
And all of this is just, it's hand after hand, and she's still 15 feet away from you. But there's this... One hand is green, one hand has developed this kind of golden glow, and so it's just, your vision is just green, gold, green, gold.
Good and lord.
And the one fills you with that sickening feeling again.
So, question, can I use my movement for my echo?
Well, you can command your echo to move.
Oh, okay. Well, then I would command my Echo to move. Well, is that an action if I command him? How does that work?
Okay. I don't think so. I think you can move him as... I think you each get movement on your turn, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because I think the only thing an action is if I swap places.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I would command him to move in up, 5 foot, and then I'm going to tell her enough with the bullshit. And then I am going to rage. I'm going to bonus action rage. And then I am going to take 2 attacks from my echo.
At disadvantage.
Can I do reckless?
Yeah.
Great weapons master.
By all means.
Is it still...
It'll be a flat roll.
Perfect. Is that 18?
18 does not hit.
Perfect. And then second one definitely hits.
12.
Well, thank you for the advantage. Because now I have advantage on all attacks against you.
Why is that?
Because you went reckless. That's the downside to reckless.
Didn't know that.
And seeing you rage, seeing the lightning and the fire come out, she gets this big, sick smile on her face.
She's the...
And you see the green and the gold really start winding up, and she reaches out to the golden hand, and this mask appears, and she slides the mask over her face, and it's just this blank, expressionless mask, and she drops down into this stance, and she starts moving towards you, but she's punching as she's coming in.
She's moving towards me?
Yes.
So I'm going to use my echo and get my reaction off of my echo.
Okay.
Still, well, it's just a reaction, so I don't get anything special.
No.
So it's just flat roll or?
It's flat roll because you're still reckless.
19?
19 just hits.
Perfect. So that's going to be...
16. Don't forget your added damage for your rage.
22. Or wait,
damage?
Right. 27. Ooh, 6, 27. 7. Yeah, 27 damage.
Right. You see that takes a big old chunk out of her. That makes her stumble for a second, but she still keeps charging forward. Two attacks with advantage. 28 to hit.
Oh, absolutely.
That is going to be 15 damage. Second attack, 29 to hit.
Yeah.
For 12 damage. Flurry of blows.
Good night. Yeah. Holy shit.
27 to hit. And on that one, she's going to...
Hand of harm.
Hand of harm.
AKA bad touch. I don't like her PP touches.
23 damage, and you have.
I'm down.
And you're poisoned again.
I'm down. I literally had 23 left.
Well, you half that.
Oh, I haven't been halving any.
Oh, those last three attacks, those three would have been halved. So you would add, just add 20. Because you're raging, you're resistant to all of this damage.
Oh, okay.
And then this time on the fourth attack, instead of going towards you, you see that gold hand runs over her.
She's
and she heals for 8 damage.
Damn.
Once these monks get past 11, shit gets crazy. And that is her turn, and she is standing in your face.
Okay, so I'm going to action swap places with my echo.
Okay.
And then I'm going to use the rest of my movement to get to the other side and just hold an action.
Right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
You scared the pee out of him.
Yeah. All right, so he didn't go reckless, so it's standard attacks. So she's going to go after the echo, 22 to hit. Echo's gone. And then she is going to use her movement. You guys see her run towards Norris. She runs just past him, kicks off the wall, and does a spin kick to hit him. 29 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
She only does 10, half to 5. And then she's going to flurry of blows. Oh, no, not at advantage.
Wait, how
30 to hit? Does that hit?
No, not at all.
Jeez.
Dude, it's ridiculous.
That would be 21 half to 10. And a 27 to hit for her last attack. And that one will be 10 damage half to 5.
I'm down. I had 5 left.
So yeah, you guys see her. She kicks off the wall and then does this spinning wheel kick to the side of his head. And as he starts dropping, on her way down, just one good Superman punch to the head. And Norris drops to the ground with a thud. And she takes off her mask and she's, "He's fine."
Fallen, you want
no bones. That's all I asked.
And then she makes an action like she's going to punch him while he's down. And her golden hand comes down and heals Norris for 11. Norris, you're laying on the ground, and you don't remember how you got there.
I would imagine not.
Are we within 60 feet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Norris would, like, look at her and be like, "You lied to me."
I didn't lie.
Well, you're not wrong. You didn't lie, but you played it very well. Good fight.
I really like to spar.
That hurt a lot.
Thank you for the practice. I've never gotten to fight anybody like you. The flames and the lightning, it's all so cool.
You know, to be fair, I've never fought anybody like you either. Apparently, I need to work up on my fighting.
I'm quick. I'm not very strong, but I'm quick.
I say that to the guy double over, who's metal and flamey and lightning-y.
And she starts to help you up. And when she like grabs, like through your metal, there's like sensors in your arm so that you can feel pressure and stuff like that. This girl has a fucking grip. And so when she reaches down to help you up, you're thinking, well, fucking no wonder.
Jeez.
And she helps you off the ground and kind of dusts you off. And
nice try, Norris.
It was fun. I'm glad it was just the spar.
That was so much fun. That was great. Thank you so much.
Yep. Glad I can be of service. And I would do my awkward little bow to her again that I did at the start of it.
And she does a very formal bow. And she turns to her master and gives him a bow. And he does not react. Just stone-faced. Just watches, and then he stands up and starts walking out of the
Before he stands up, I'd like to give him a thumb up with a command flame, so I've got a little flame on the tip of my thumb.
He pauses for a second, kind of tilts his head, and then continues up the stairs. Are you guys hungry? I'm so hungry. And she kind of takes the mask, and as soon as she takes it off, it almost like evaporates into her golden glowing hand, and then the green and the gold dissipate.
About time someone kicked his ass.
Fuck you, awesome. That was hard. She's definitely a lot stronger than she looks.
A level 11 monk is not to be trifled with. Wave mercy. Yeah.
I knew it.
For a healer? They're rowdy.
As we walk up, I'm going to second wind myself.
Okay. And so I imagine her and Norris would make their way up to you guys, and she's just this bubbly, you know. Before she was super quiet and meek. You can tell that this is her jam. Like, she enjoys the fuck out of this. So now she's kind of riding that high. And she's... You guys are hungry, right? Could use a drink?
I could absolutely use a drink.
Yeah, yeah. Let's all go up to the commons area. And kind of leads you guys up. And she's doing, like, a little skip.
As we're, like, walking, I would, like, throw my arm around her and just be like, So, how long have you trained? Because, not going to lie, that guy in the stands doesn't look like he could do half of what you did. But I will say, you didn't look like you could do half of what you did, so apparently I just don't know shit.
She pulls her collar back to expose her collarbone, and you can see a recent, like, it looks like a recent surgery scar. And she goes, I just got put back together from him. He's something else.
Damn.
And he was like 5'3", maybe 100 pounds.
Short King Gain. Yeah. Well, you know what, Darla? You can drink with me anytime. And by God, you can fight with me anytime, too. Just don't ever fight me again, please.
I've never been in a real fight. Someday, I hope they think I'm ready.
I look over at Alphonse and I go, I raged and she's never been in a real fight with quotation fingers.
You look pretty sloppy out there, buddy.
I felt sloppy. I had no idea what was going on. Alphonse, I got hit more times than I thought that whole fucking thing. I mean, like, not more times than I thought I got hit, but, like, more times than, like, I had a thought go through my brain to figure out what to do.
Probably get that gear fixed in your mind.
It's this fucking soft spot, I swear.
And Fallen and Darla lead you guys up to the cafeteria area. You guys have some dinner, have some drinks, and we'll pick it up there next week. Well done, Bo.
Well
that
done.
Was fun.
Well done, my ass. I had no idea how to fight her. I was like, I'm just going to create some distance.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, actually, yeah.
We'll save it for the post show.
Yeah, save it for the post show.
Yep, sorry.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Dubstep and Dragons, this wonderful world of mystery that we're in right now. And we'll make sure to drop a like, follow, and subscribe. And don't forget to leave us a comment to let you know what your thoughts are on the episode. Most of us didn't get to hear the first 30 minutes, so we'll see. So
was
other
it
than
that long? Holy shit.
Until next time.
Toodles.
Bye.
Bye.